But tonight my message is entitled The Cry of Compassion, or A Cry of Compassion, and it's taken from John chapter 19 and beginning with verse 23. That's John chapter 19 and beginning with verse 23. We are dealing with the seven cries from the cross, and tonight's cry is a cry of compassion. If you remember last week, we talked about a cry of pardon as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." Tonight's a little bit different cry. Let's stand together and we'll read the scriptures. Chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothing and divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. The garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said one to another. They decided by lot who will get it. This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this was what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Father, we pray that you'll bless your word now as it's preached. May it be received, Lord, as the word of God tonight, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The cry tonight is the third from the cross. It's where Jesus looks at his mother and says, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he looks at John and he says, "And here is your mother." In the time of Christ, there were five pieces of clothing, generally, according to the research that I did for my message tonight, that were worn. And as we read here, the soldiers split amongst them. They divided among themselves the four pieces of garment that were easily, readily dividable and gave some to each of them. And then they came to the undergarment, the part of the robe that was closest to the body of Jesus. And they said, "Shall we divide it?" They didn't want to divide it. And so the Bible says that they cast lots for it. And they decided who would receive it that way. And one author suggested that this was a piece of clothing that Jesus' earthly mother Mary, his mother Mary, had made for him and had given to him. And so that when Jesus saw them gambling or casting lots for this undergarment, this piece of clothing, he thought about his mother who was standing there at the foot of the cross, and his attention was drawn to her. However one wants to look at it, the message entitled Compassion from the Cross should hit us in our hearts that Jesus, even though he was in the throes of death, was thinking about those that he loved the most. I was thinking about that as I was preparing for my message. In the focus of death, is it normally on somebody else? Well, I don't know. Maybe for the Christian. I think for the non-Christian, many times I've seen non-Christians go into eternity. They're most concerned about themselves and many times about their eternal state, because they come to that point of death and they are not prepared for stepping over to the other side. And yet, as I think about the death of a Christian, I was with my wife when she passed away, and Doris was not thinking about herself, I don't think. One of the things she did just prior to passing from this life is the family was all gathered around her, and she smiled at each one of us. And that was very different, because she had been suffering so much for so long, that to see her smile just warmed my heart. And I got the feeling she wasn't thinking about herself then. She was thinking about her loved ones. And then just moments before she passed from this life, probably a good 10 or 15 minutes, it was as though the pain all left her face and was gone. It was as though she was seeing something else, whether it was heaven, whether it was Jesus, or whether it was an angel, I don't know. But I have a strong suspicion in my heart of hearts that she wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about that which was coming up, the glorious life that was ahead of her, her place that God had prepared for her. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And yet this moment we see on the cross, we see Jesus, and he's not thinking about his own death at this moment. He's thinking about those that he loves the most, and we see his compassion flowing through the cross, through his death on the cross. And tonight I want to look real quickly at four elements of his words of compassion that show how Jesus was moved as he was suffering for you and I on that cross. And the first element of the compassion that Jesus had was showed his relationship with Mary. And it was interesting because in doing a little bit of digging, I came across the realization that Jesus never called Mary his mother. He referred her to her as woman, but he never said mother. Now John and some of the biblical writers refer to her as the mother of Jesus, but Jesus himself never actually called her his mother. And so we read, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, those are the words of John, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." He remained a faithful firstborn son until the end. It was the responsibility of the firstborn son to take care of a widowed mother. And most likely at this point, Joseph had passed away. We read of him in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we read after the festival was over, while Jesus' parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was in the company. They traveled on for a day, and then they began to look for him. And again, we have Mary and Joseph here among their friends and relatives as Jesus is about 12 years old. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him, and after 3 days found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking questions. Everyone who heard this was amazed at his understanding. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I," the words of Mary, have been anxiously searching for you." So apparently when Jesus was around 12 years old, his father Joseph, his earthly father, was still alive. But according to history and tradition, by the time Jesus was on the cross, Mary was a widow. Mary was alone, and it was the responsibility of the oldest son to care for his mother, yet Jesus was dying on the cross. So here we have the soldiers at the foot of the cross parting his garments. They're casting lots for the robe. And I mentioned the five parts of the attire, the tunic, the part that was closest to the body, probably made by Mary. Jesus' relationship with Mary at this point was going to change permanently. Before this, she had been his mother on this earth, his earthly mother. He had come into the world, the incarnation, through Mary. But at this point, as Jesus hung on the cross, he would transition from being just her son to being her savior, just like he is for each one of us tonight. And Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, that is John, standing nearby. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, that disciple took her into his home. And so even in his death, he was doing his responsibility as a firstborn child and caring for Mary and showing compassion to her as if she were his own mother. And indeed she was, as far as his human coming into the world. Well, there's a second element where we see the compassion of Jesus on the cross, and that is his commitment. his commitment as the son to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, he took her into his home. I mentioned that Jesus often called Mary woman. He did that at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And she was committed to him. And John was there at the cross. John was committed to him. And Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And the Bible tells us that John took her into his home from that time on. We see a third element of compassion, and that's the responsibility he placed on this disciple, John. When Jesus was taken into custody, the Bible tells us that all of his disciples fled. Matthew 26, 31 to 35. Jesus told them, "This very night, all of you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I had risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "If all fall away on account of you, I will never. Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples did the same. And yet we know from the scripture that at the time of Jesus' arrest, every one of them deserted him. And they were all, if you will, ashamed of him. In that hour, Matthew 26, 55, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophet might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. And it's just amazing to me. You know, if it were me, I probably would have carried some kind of grudge. You know, they all deserted. They all fled. Well, what kind of friends are they? And yet Jesus had compassion, and he had love for each and every one of them. Finally, I think of John on his way to the cross as he was near to Mary. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and follow him. Or it may be a death like Luther's, who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ, the death to the old man at his call. Only the man that is dead to his call can follow Christ." In other words, we must lose ourselves to gain Christ. We must die to self to live to Christ. I've thought before, what would life have been if I would have done this with my life, or I would have done this with my life? But I've realized, and my wife and I talked about it, that really there wasn't a choice. For the call of God was so strong to go and pursue the passion to follow Christ in the pastorate that I didn't have that choice. There wasn't that option. And the call of God is upon each and every one of our lives. He says, "Come and follow me." What is it that we have to give up? I can't tell you. I can't tell you what Christ calls for you to leave behind. Only you know that. But his call goes forth today to come and follow me. Well, finally, the final element of compassion Jesus shows on the cross is his call to us. And I think tonight it would do us well if we would hear the call of Christ from the cross, calling to each and every one of us. At the cross, we are asked to take Christ's place in the world. Much like he asked John, or told John, "John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son." Christ calls to us from the cross, "Will you follow me in the way in which I want you to?" Luke 14, "If anyone would come to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yea, even their own life, such a person cannot be that my disciple." Now, I don't think that we literally have to hate our family members, but I think that means being willing to leave everything to follow Christ. to do whatever it takes to give our lives to Jesus Christ. Whoever does not carry their cross, verse number 27, Luke 14, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. How, I ask tonight, would you answer if you were John? Jesus said in Mark 3:33, who is my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and he said, here is my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. We've talked about the cross of Christ for 3 weeks now, and tonight we've talked about the compassion that Jesus showed as he hung on that cross. I believe tonight that Jesus wants to show his compassion through us, through you tonight. Who's going to love the unlovable in this world? It's you and I. Who's going to love those who have needs and meet those needs tonight? It's you and I. Jesus wants to show his compassion through us. The king will truly reply, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brother and sister, you have done for me, in Matthew 25:40. And finally tonight, I think of that song. We're going to sing it in just a moment. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And it says, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Keep me near the cross? Really? Is that what you want tonight? Really? Keep me near the cross. May his passion and his compassion flow through you tonight and flow through me to each and every one who we find ourselves surrounded by. May the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ be seen in us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would show the same compassion through us as you showed as you were hanging on the cross and you spoke those words to John and you spoke those words to Mary. May we show that same love for one another tonight. We ask your blessing upon each person here, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.